Well, saints, I have been looking forward to this gathering for some time. I really have a lot of expectation for what the Lord will do this day, and even including tomorrow, this weekend. I do hope that as what was prayed just now by someone, we would have the grace to put everything aside.
Amen.
Just to put everything aside. I know this gathering is for, we bill it this way, for young working saints and young couples. And that includes young couples with children. And I do know that when you have the young children, it's always a battle to get out of the house. And all the more if you're trying to leave the house at 6 a.m. from wherever you are. And there's struggles and delays and all that. But even if you had such a struggle this morning, I hope you have the grace right now.
Amen.
Just to exhale.
Amen.
Actually, we're going to talk about exhaling in the next session. That's going to be the key word in the next session. But right now, we can take a deep breath and just, the work week is over. The work week is over. I hope it's over for all of you. Some of you might be on call right now or something. Anyway, but I hope you would have the grace just to, also as what was prayed, sit at the Lord's feet.
Amen.
To be able to sit at the Lord's feet. You know, that's the story in the Gospels where the Lord is, they prepared a feast for the Lord, and it's, right, and Martha is very busy, you know, serving, running around. We have some Marthas out there. May the Lord grace them. But be the Marys.
Be the Mary.
Once you're in this room, be a Mary.
Amen.
Be a Mary. And just sit and receive from the Lord.
Amen.
Receive from the Lord. I hope we all have the grace for that. Well, saints, as you can see, you have in your hand, I hope everyone has an outline book packet. Does everyone have an outline? Anybody need one? We all have. Great. As you can see, we have these outlines, and if you've looked through it already, there are two outlines from the book related to the book of Leviticus, and then there's a third outline that's a kind of a special fellowship on the practice of personal fellowship. These three outlines will kind of guide our fellowship for the weekend. And these two outlines, the first two, how does your packet?
They're in the wrong order, yeah.
How does your packet say?
Jubilee second.
Oh, no, he has this. You have the significance of eating.
Right,
yeah, is the first one, yeah.
And
the feet of death. Oh, you mean the order of the
order.
No. Yeah, that's fine. What I mean is the two Leviticus outlines are in the proper order. Yeah. So the significance of eating and the defeat of death, that's actually, if you were in the summer training on the crystallization study of Leviticus, this is message 4. And I don't know about the other localities, but in New York, we just covered this is a week ago. We're up to 5. This week is 5, right?
Right.
So last week, we covered this. And then the next one, your third page, is the Jubilee. The Jubilee. And that, thank you, is number 10. That's number 10. Okay. However, I just want to make this clear at the beginning. We're not reviewing these messages. That's not the point of today.
Right.
Okay. We're not reviewing these two messages. We are using these outlines. We're using the outlines to convey some burden. When we were covering this in New York City to the week before last, or actually still last week, I felt like the Lord spoke something very clear to me concerning today, concerning what our content should be today. And out of that speaking, as we were before the Lord, even for weeks before, what to cover. When we were covering this outline, oh, I felt like something very clear. You know, there's an example in the Old Testament with the children of Israel. Of course, you know, everything in the Old Testament related to Israel is for us today. It's a type for us today. So whatever we see there in the history in Israel, those are real things that happened there. There are even physical things that happened. But everything is a picture for us and for our learning. And one of the things that happened, this is very early on in the history of Israel, is that when they were crossing the Red Sea, the Lord came and made a wall of fire around them to protect them. And, excuse me. And when they made the tabernacle, there was a column of fire that came and sat on the tabernacle, but over the Holy of Holies, and that was God's presence. And at nighttime, it was a column, a pillar of fire, but by daytime, it was a pillar of cloud. So there's this kind of, that pillar, by day, cloud, by night, fire, sitting on the tabernacle, every now and then, it would rise, and it would move. And that was, God's presence was in the pillar. And so that was God leading them. Like, now you have to pack up and follow this. And so they actually had some horns prepared. They must have had like a scout, like a watchman or a lookout, always watching the cloud. Because you don't know. There's no record of when. Was God that convenient? Did he wait for the best time for everyone? Could there be a best time for everyone? You think about it. Could there really be a best time for everyone? You say, well, how about 2 p.m., you know, like right after. So, Lord, only move at 2 p.m. But the young mothers know, that's nap time for my baby. That's the worst time. Better to do it at 5 p.m. This one says, we eat early. That's my cooking time. That's my eating time. So anyway, the cloud would pick up and move. And then they'd blow these horns. Then you feel, oh. I don't think every time was, amen. The Lord's moving on. I think. Can't you imagine, Todd? Sometimes. Maybe oftentimes. But at least sometimes. It would be not, oh Lord, but oh no. Not now. But the cloud would move, and then all God's people would pack up everything. The priests would pack up the tabernacle, and then they'd go to the next place, following the cloud, not knowing where, it's going this way. And they go, and they thought, it stopped. Okay, that means under the cloud, they set up the tabernacle. And then, you're talking about 2 million people.
Wow.
Everybody in an order would set up around the tabernacle with their tent facing the tabernacle. Yeah. What a picture. Yeah. So, you know, the cloud is a picture of the Spirit.
Amen.
The Spirit. This is from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. They were baptized to Moses in the cloud and in the sea. So we're baptized in water and in the Spirit. So the cloud is a picture of the Spirit. And we have the Spirit with us all the time. We have the Spirit with us all the time as a kind of cloud. You know what? Next time you see a cloud, think Spirit. Think, amen, Lord. You're with me all the time. But sometimes you need to make some decisions. And to have just the cloud, you have the Lord's presence, but you don't have the leading. So in this picture, sometimes the cloud became a pillar. And so the Spirit, when the Spirit leads you, that's the cloud becoming a pillar. And I had one such moment 2 weeks ago. We're enjoying these messages, And I just had a feeling, for that day, September 22, is that today? September 22, we need to focus on the matter of eating.
Amen.
Eating. I just had this sense, eating. You know, in the book of Leviticus, and it's in your scripture reading, in this, it says, if you notice here, scripture reading says Leviticus 11 with no verses. You know what that means, right? That means the whole chapter. Yeah, the whole chapter. But the whole chapter is, I think, 23 verses. 23 verses. So we didn't take the time to read that. But I'd like to let you know that this chapter is, well, I should take a step back. The book of Leviticus is a kind of very particular book because as I mentioned, the cloud leading and so on. The book of Exodus begins with God's people being saved from Egypt, and then they go to Mount Sinai, and then the Lord, before he gives the law, he says this very particular thing in Exodus 19. He says that, I brought you out of Egypt, right? Like on the wings of an eagle. I brought you. And I have made you a particular, a treasure for me. A treasure for me. And actually, there you can see that the Lord is telling them, I brought you because I love you. And I want to be your God. And I want you to be my people. But you have to understand, these people did not actually know God. They didn't really know him that much. So, what is the law and all those chapters that follow in Exodus? That is God, you could say, introducing himself to his people, courting his people. This would be a very good time to segue to tell you that this afternoon we're going to have a special session, a fellowship on courtship. Yeah, courtship in God's economy and under God's full blessing. So that's the 4 p.m. session.
Amen.
4 p.m. session. Right. So if you're interested in that, please come to that. But God was the one courting. And he was letting his people know what kind of God he is. And then included in that, starting from chapter 25, he starts telling them about his house, that he wants a sanctuary. And so the rest of the book is they're building the tabernacle. And when they complete it in Exodus 40, almost didn't finish it. Like they finished it and they're putting the furnishings in, and it's like they placed everything, and before they could turn around, God filled it. It's like he's waiting to move in.
Amen.
I don't know if you ever had a house built. You know, we had a family that meets here in Rosendale. They had a house built. Oh, and I know they were delay. And they're waiting, delay. And they thought this would be the date, delay. That, oh, can you imagine God? He's been waiting for centuries to have a people. Now he has a people. Now he opens his heart, they build, and then delay. But now they actually built it, and almost like they put the last piece of furniture, boom. But he fills it with glory.
Amen.
He filled it with glory. That's the end of Exodus. Now Leviticus. Now Leviticus, if you read chapter 1, God speaks from the tent of meeting. And now he's speaking to the people. And he's telling them, how to live, how to serve or worship, and even how to rejoice. He's giving instructions on these three things: how to live, how to serve, and how to rejoice. Can you imagine? God has to give instruction how to rejoice. But he does. We're really going to get into this tonight. How to rejoice. God wants a happy people.
Amen.
And so the first few chapters are all on the offerings, about the offerings. We've been covering this a lot in all the local churches recently. But when you come to chapter 11, he gives instruction about eating. You know, nothing is more part of your living than eating. Eating. We all drove here. Part of our drive was, where are we going to eat? Where's Brother Isaac here from Wilmington? Oh, yeah, they're here. Isaac and Rita. I had breakfast with their family, and I was talking to the children, Cassia's the little one, right? Rima said, I said, how long did it take you? She said, we stopped to eat. She said, right? We stopped to have dinner. We stopped to eat. Yeah, we stopped to eat too. You plan your trip around eating. Wait, we're going to drive the whole way and wait to eat? Nah. Let's just either eat now or along the way. So eating is part of our living.
Yeah.
Eating is part of our living. So do you know God gives his people instructions about
Amen.
Eating?
Amen.
Some things you can eat, some things you shouldn't eat. Let's read in the outline a little bit. Romans 1. In order to know the real meaning of eating in Leviticus 11, we need to know the significance of eating. Point 1. Eating is not merely contacting something. Sorry. I skipped over A. To eat is to contact things
outside of us and affect us inside.
Okay. This is a principle, saints. This is a principle. What is to eat? What is to eat? Eat is that there's something outside of you. You contact that thing. And then it goes from outside to inside and affects you inside. Eventually, becomes you. Becomes you. That's basically eating. And in this chapter in Leviticus, it especially talks about what animals you can eat, what animals you can't eat, and things like this. You know, and the Jews keep this very strictly, even till today. There are many Jews keep this very even till today.
Yep.
I remember when I was in grad school at NYU, I was doing a project, and I was at a friend's house, a Jewish friend. I didn't think ahead of time. And so, you know, we brought our lunch. I brought a ham sandwich. I wasn't thinking. I just didn't think. Brought a ham sandwich. And we pulled out our lunch, and he looked at me. He says, sorry, you can't eat that in here, in his home. I couldn't eat that. I'm sorry. So this is, they keep it. Why? Because of Leviticus 11. They live by Leviticus 11, even till today. Okay. But for us as believers, this should have a much more significance. You know, in the New Testament, and this is really, we're getting to the point now, the main point. In the New Testament, in Acts chapter 10, there's a story about Peter, the Apostle Peter. And I think most of us are probably familiar. He gets a vision. What does he see? A big bed sheet. Can you imagine a big bed sheet? Right? Not a fitted, a flat. It's a flat one. A big flat sheet. And the sheet comes down. Imagine the sheet and it's come down, and it's full, right? Like full. And then it opens up. And what's there? Animals. All kinds of animals that are listed in Leviticus 11. Including all the unclean animals. And God says to Peter, Peter, rise up, slay, and eat. And he goes, no, Lord. No. I can't eat this. And it happens repeatedly. Then, he awakens from this trance, and there's like a downstairs. And then, what is it? It's messengers from Cornelius. And if you know the story, Cornelius is a Gentile. He's actually an Italian. Who the Lord appeared to him and told him, send for Peter. And they were the first group of Gentiles to be saved. And the Holy Spirit fell on them. Just like in Acts chapter 2, when the Spirit came upon the apostles there and the 120. And so then when Peter goes and preaches the gospel to them and they all get saved, through the course of this story, Peter says, I realized the interpretation of the sheet with the animals. It's not about what you eat and don't eat. It's about contacting people. Because the Jews were what? Unclean to the Gentiles. The Gentiles were considered unclean to the Jews. You shouldn't contact them. They're unclean. They're common. They're common. Even they were considered like this phrase, Gentile dogs. Gentile dogs. But now a vision came and said, eat. And Peter realized God was telling him, you can contact the Gentiles. You can contact the Gentiles. But God didn't say contact. What did God say? Eat. So this shows us, saints, that contacting people is an eating. Is an eating. And what is eating? Let's read that again. Point A. What is eating? To eat is to contact things
outside.
Let's read now point one. Eating is not merely contacting something, but also receiving something into us. Two, once a thing is received into us, that thing can be digested to become our constituent.
That is our being, our constitution.
And three,
we all are constituent of the food that we eat and digest. What we digest becomes our constitution.
Then, starting here with point B in this outline, it applies this to the spiritual eating of the Lord. You know, the verses that we read in John 6, the Lord Jesus said, eat me! You know, if you really read John 6 carefully and kind of, as you read, see a picture in front of you of what was transpiring there, we would sympathize a little bit more with the people there. Can you imagine there's a man there and he says, eat me. You know, some people thought this guy's okay. He went too far. So, you know, in this chapter, it says some people stopped following him at this point because they thought this is too much. This is kind of like we like the fact that he's kind of a little like a rebel, you know, changing the system, and things are good. And even some miracle that he feeds people. That's great. That's the beginning of the chapter. But now he says, eat me. No, worse than this, he says, drink my blood. People stop following him. Then when we read, we go, oh. But no, if you were there, what would you do? You'd think, dear, I think we're going home. You think? But there, in that chapter, in those verses, actually, we read only till 57. If you keep reading to 63, verse 63, John 6, 63, he explains, the flesh profits nothing. So I'm not talking about physical eating, you know, eat my flesh. It says, what? It is the Spirit that gives life.
Amen.
The words that I give to you are spirit and life. So he was saying, actually, to eat me is to receive my Spirit.
Amen.
And how do you receive the Spirit? Directly by enjoying him, but also through his words. When we, that's why we pay so much attention to the Word of God. Mm-hmm. Right? When we touch the Word, read the Word, we're eating God. We're eating God. So, you have, and this is really the point now, saints, two aspects of our eating. Every day we have the potential to eat in two ways. One is we eat the Lord.
Amen.
We eat the Lord. And we're going to focus on this more in the next session. But the other way, and that's really my burden in this session, is contacting people. When we contact people, we are actually eating. Mm-hmm. And it's affecting us. So in Leviticus 11, there's a kind of restriction, a restriction of eating. Which means what? We need to be careful in our contact with people, what we receive and what we do not receive. Now, there's some very, very rich meaning and understanding in the regulations in Leviticus 11. It talks about that the animals you're allowed to eat are the ones that they split the hoof. You know, split the hoof. That is, that their legs are split, you know. And they what? Chew the cud. They chew the cud. That means they eat, you know, some animals, they have multiple stomachs. So they eat, and it goes to one stomach, comes back, they chew it again, goes to another stomach. Yeah, this is rich in meaning. This has to do with having, you know, splitting the hoof, having discernment in your walking. Discernment in your walking. And then chewing the cud has to do with receiving the word with consideration. Right? You don't just... Actually, in many conferences, you receive the word and you're like, oh, amen, that was good. And then at lunchtime, oh, how was the, you know, like somebody serving downstairs comes up and says, how was the meeting? Oh, it was good. What was shared? Oh, I forgot. You forgot. But 10 minutes later, it's gone. You didn't chew the cud. You know what I mean? You didn't receive it with consideration. You go home after the conference. You know it was a good conference, great conference. And then on next Lord's Day, the brothers say, oh, let's have some overflow from last weekend. And you're thinking, last weekend? What was the title? I forgot the title of the message. That means you didn't receive it with... So anyway, there's more. It also talks about the things in the sea. They have to have fins and scales. Eels are unclean. Eels.
Right.
But you know, anyway, some people like to eat them. That's okay. But anyway, my point is not to get into these things, but I tell you, rich in meaning. And if you have the recovery version, the recovery version of the Bible, these points are there in the notes. Okay. But again, this is not our burden today is not really to study Leviticus. Our burden is that we're following the cloud. And there's some things here that I think are very relevant. And so I'd like to spend some time to talk about contacting people. We may not realize, but whether positively or negatively, our contacting with people affects us. It's an eating. And when we contact proper people, we're affected positively. And when we contact negative people, we may not realize, but we're eating. And it cannot but affect us negatively. So, you know, God created mankind. God created every human being as an eating vessel. So, of course, we have this diagram that we use this diagram a lot, you know, with the three parts, of man. And this is based on 1 Thessalonians. There are many verses, but this is one of the clearest. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says that man has a body, a soul, and a spirit. And of course, this refers to the human spirit, not to be confused with the Holy Spirit of God. So we're not born with the Spirit of God. You have to receive the Spirit of God. And when you receive the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God mingles with this human spirit. But my point is this. God made man as an eating vessel. Do you realize we eat with every part? Every part has the capacity to receive. So, of course, our body, that's clear. We eat. Our spirit, that's also clear because God, the Lord Jesus said, "Eat me." So we eat with our spirit. And actually, in the next session, we're going to talk about taking the Word of God and how do you eat when you're reading the Word. Because it's possible to read the Word and not eat. And I think we've all had that experience. You read and you don't get nourishment from the Word. But we want to show you how, guaranteed, to get nourishment from the Word. Okay. But my burden in this session is to talk about our soul. You know, after getting my MBA, I was at NYU. So I got a job. My office was in Midtown. I was working for a big accounting firm. Our clients mostly were downtown. And I was mostly on financial. I was an auditor, so I was involved mostly with financial clients in the finance industry and insurance. And those of you, there are some accountants here, especially if you're involved with public accounting, you know, there are seasons. We call it busy season. With some people, that just means the whole year. Okay. It's just always a busy season. But with me, it was I know it was under the Lord's mercy and sovereignty that I was somewhat controlled, but I had several months during the year that we were working, like you come in at 9 and you stay until whenever the supervisor says, which is, you know, it gets a little later, 8, 9 o'clock, then another week, it's 10 or 11, and then there's a push at a certain time that could be a week or two, it's till midnight or 1, because you're under a very strict deadline. And with us, it was with the SEC. So we're working there. So I was spending out of 24 hours, literally 17 hours or 16 hours with these people. 6.5 days a week. 6.5 days. On Friday nights, we would cut early. And Lord's Day morning, I would go to the Lord's table, but leave before the second meeting to get to work. So I was spending, you know, 14, 15, 16 hours a day. And one day, it was a Friday night. And we, you know, in New York, we do have a Friday night meeting in the Jamaica Hall. And this is back in the 80s. And, I still remember, they usually Friday nights, the group, and it was a group of about 7 or 8, they just like to go out for some drinks and always invite me along. I have the meeting, and I don't drink. But they knew. They were like, come on, you know. They're not like, it's not a situation where all these people are evil, and they're trying, please come with us to Hades. You know, they're just, come on, man, come on. Let's just blow off some steam. You know, we love, actually, I would say even more than liked each other, we really loved each other on that particular team. You know? We're together so much. We know each other so much. Respected each other. And they just wanted me along. And I thought, no. You know, I have an appointment. I mean, the church meeting. I have an appointment. Every Friday. So, but I remember I was walking to the subway this one time. And I'm feeling, I do not want to go to this meeting. I just do not. And I wasn't like that. I wasn't like that in university. University, I was with the brothers. In high school, I was like that. Even in junior high, I was like that. I was like, had companions. Now I'm at work. It's my second busy season. And I remember I stopped. It was actually right next to the big bull down there. Do you all know? Some of you know that big bull, Merrill Lynch, that bull there. And I stopped. And I had a conversation with myself. And I said to myself, what has happened to you? What has happened to you? And I realized I changed. I changed. And I had a kind of a... It's almost like, it's not that I was talking to the Lord. I was talking to me. But with the Lord right there. And I realized something happened in these weeks that had led to this point. And I didn't notice. I didn't notice. But it had been weeks. It's this, actually. It's eating. Eating. My priorities were already affected. My priorities. Not just my desire. You know, desire can go up and down. But if your priorities are affected, that's more serious. And my view of things, I realized. You know, we have, you know, you're working, but it's not working the whole time. You have to take a dinner break. So maybe about 8 or 9, we would call in and have dinner delivered. And we were there talking. And what do you talk about? Usually money. Future. What do you want to do with your money? Buying this house? Buying a boat? Come on. I never thought about buying a boat. That doesn't mean anything to me, but this guy wants to. Thinking about, Living somewhere. I just want to be where the church is. That we bought our house because of the proximity to the meeting hall. We didn't care about school district. We ended up in probably the best school district in the city, or you know, in Queens. But that was not what we aimed at.
Right.
We bought a house because it was 3.2 miles from the meeting hall. And there were saints everywhere around. That's the place to live. So it was simple. It was simple. There were not a lot of factors. It was really just one factor. I wanted my tent to face the tabernacle.
Amen.
But now I'm thinking of a lot of things. I'm thinking about retirement. I'm 24. And I'm thinking about, retirement. And not that you shouldn't think about these things. You should think about. I'm planning to have a talk with my kids about that. They're all working now. They were serving before. To talk about these kind of things. But that's not what I mean. What I mean is something inside was affected. And saints, I have this concern. How's your eating? How's your eating?
Yeah.
And whether it's at our office, or it could just be our neighbors, sisters who have the young children, it could just be you're on a play date. You could even be in a neighborhood children's meeting. Your neighborhood children's meeting. But the mom comes and talks about, did you apply for what program? No, you have to do that. Don't people talk that way? You have to do this. And you didn't think that, no, I don't think I have to, but and then you go to your husband, dear, we really have to do this. and you get affected.
Right.
Just a thought. It was just a thought, a seed of something, but you swallowed it. And so this is what Leviticus is talking about. We have to be careful about our eating. About our eating. Of course, we all have our families, and sometimes we get suggestions from relatives who don't have the same priorities in the Lord, but they have a heart for us. It's out of love. Again, it's not because people are trying to distract us and get us off the central lane of God's economy. It's actually because they love us. But God, the enemy uses that to put a little seed. Oh, yeah. Maybe we should pull back a little bit, take care of ourselves. Don't be that involved. Don't be too much. You can be in your church. You can be in your church, but you don't have to. Oh, I won't ask for the hands. How many of you have heard that? Oh no, you could love the Lord. You could even serve in the church, but you have to be careful, because you could eat that, and it could operate in you, and then it becomes your constitution. Then it's a problem. Then it's a problem. So, saints, we have to watch our eating. We have to watch our eating. Let's continue in the outline. Let's read B all together. Taking in the Lord. Amen. Sisters, one. Brothers, two. Amen. Brothers.
There is not only an organic union between us and the food that we eat, digest, and assimilate. We are also mingled with the food that we assimilate into us.
I'm so glad it mentions the Lord's table here, because every new week starts with eating. Every new week. Tomorrow we'll celebrate the Lord's table here. That'll be the first thing we do tomorrow morning. And always it's a reminder, take care of your eating. Actually, the Lord's table should be a kind of overflow and celebration of what we ate last week. Because if we're eating the Lord through the week and taking care, being vigilant over the other eating, we will be released when we come to the table to worship Him. Why is it that sometimes we come to the Lord's table and there's not joy in our heart? You have to admit. You have to admit sometimes. Sometimes it is. You really are with even anticipation. But I'd like to ask you, when was the last time you came to the Lord's table with anticipation? Sometimes we come with, oh, I have to serve. I have to serve. Oh, what's the lesson? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, amen. What's the number? What hymn? Oh, okay, amen. You know, this chapter 11, let's get to it in the outline, doesn't only mention eating, it mentions death.
Yeah.
It talks about death and staying away from the carcass. You know, this chapter 11, let me find that for you. I found this very interesting note in Leviticus 11. In the Recovery Version in Leviticus 11, verse 31, it says, these are unclean to you among all the swarming things. Whoever touches them when they are dead shall be unclean until the evening. And this is a point, unclean until the evening. This points out that when sin is involved, sin, you can offer a trespass offering, an offering for sin. Of course, that's in the Old Testament. The New Testament reality is we confess our sins and the blood washes us instantaneously. But here it says, when you touch something dead, you're unclean until the evening. So spiritually, this means what? When we touch an element that brings spiritual death, it's not a matter just, I confess, and it's done. Spiritual death often lasts longer, affects us longer. And the spiritual death comes in by eating the wrong thing. So be careful. But this is the note I wanted to show you. On the word dead, it says, in this chapter, the word carcass or carcasses is used 13 times. And the word dead or dies is used 3 times. Can you imagine there's a chapter in the Bible that says carcass 13 times? And it's the same chapter that emphasizes eating. So what does this mean, saints, spiritually? This means our eating and spiritual death, they're linked. So again, I ask you, when was the last time you came to the Lord's table with a kind of expectation in your heart, with joy? It could be, if it wasn't last week, it could be, maybe you were not so careful in your eating. And the eating brought in spiritual death. So we have to be careful about this. But I want to get to this point. We'll skip in the outline a little bit. We'll skip in the outline down to point 4. Sorry. No, let's go to D. Point D. It starts the way for us to become. Right? Are you with me? Yeah, let's read that together.
The way for us to become the reality of the kingdom of the heavens is to eat Christ as the all-inclusive bread.
And you see there, the reference is Matthew 15. We'll read a few verses from there in a moment. But let's read some of these sub-points. Brothers, could you start with point 1?
God's economy is not a matter of outward things, but of Christ coming into us inwardly. For this we need to see Christ by eating him.
Amen. Sisters, 2.
The reality of the kingdom of the heavens is Christ himself.
Amen. Brothers, 3.
Christ rules over us by feeding us with himself as bread.
Amen. Sisters, please skip down to 4. By eating the kingly Christ as the all-inclusive bread, we are cleansed inwardly. Amen. Saints, how do we deal with the death that's in us? We have to eat. We have to eat. Could you please turn with me to Matthew 15? You know, in this section, we have a number of verses from the book of Matthew. Let's look at some of these verses. In Matthew 15. Let's read 1 and 2 together. Matthew 15, 1 and 2. Then the Pharisees made a point about outward washing of hands, the outward washing of hands. And then that they eat bread, that the Lord's disciples ate bread without the proper tradition of washing their hands. Then the Lord answers. Please look at verses 6, 7, and 8. 9. 6, 7, 8, 9. Let's read that.
Shall by no means honor his father or his mother, and do not deprive the word of God of its authority because of your tradition. Hypocrites, well has Isaiah prophesied concerning you, saying, this people honors me with their lips, but their hearts stay far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as teachings the commandments of man.
Let's also read 11.
It is not that which enters into the mouth that defiles a man, but that which proceeds out of the mouth, this defiles a man.
And 18.
But the things which proceed out of the mouth come out of the heart, and those defile the man.
So the Lord is talking about the contrast of outward washing with inward defiling. And he's saying, don't pay attention to the outward washing, even the outward eating. You have to pay attention to your heart, that your heart is not defiled. And then right away, the account goes to, in verse 21, this story, you're probably familiar with this story, of the Syrophoenician woman. Do you know this story? And Jesus went from there and withdrew into the parts of Tyre and Sidon. Saints, we have to, especially in the Gospels, you have to see, why do the stories go from one to the other? And in another Gospel, the order's changed. It's very interesting. But you have this talk about eating, the heart, defilement. Then, right away, the Lord goes, and 22, and behold, a Canaanite woman came out from those borders and cried out, saying, have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter suffers terribly from demon possession. But he did not answer her a word. Isn't that unlike the Lord Jesus? This woman comes imploring, pleading. My daughter suffers. He doesn't answer a word. Have you read this? Did you ever wonder about this? Well, why were you kind of mean? A little bit cold? It's unlike you. Were you having a bad day? You know, it makes a point. She's a Canaanite woman. Canaanite woman. In another part, we find out in another gospel. She was from Syrophoenicia. And she said, Lord, Son of David. Actually, That's not that Lord, Son of David, that really is a phrase reserved for the Jews to call the Lord. And you could see, well, at least I believe this happened. Somebody must have told her, this man Jesus is coming here. Jesus, that one that we heard, he sometimes does miracles. That one? Yes, he's coming here. He's coming here. Oh, I have to see him. But what? She must have asked, what do I call him? Yeah. And someone must have heard this and known, oh, yeah, well, you should address him as Son of David. But that's reserved for the Jews. She didn't know that. So she goes and she uses this, which means what? It was practiced. It was not genuine. This part was not genuine. Her heart was genuine, but she had something practiced. The Lord didn't answer a word. Keep reading. But he did not answer her a word. His disciples came and implored him, saying, send her away. What shepherds? The disciples. Disciples, no compassion at all. For she's crying out after us. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Why did he say this? Well, she was being technical, so he was being technical. She used the Son of David. Son of David. Oh, if you're going to go that way, then I will be that way to you. I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. She could have said, then what are you doing up here? In Gentile territory. Actually, she kind of says that later. But she came and worshipped him, saying what? All together?
Lord, help me.
That is genuine.
Amen.
That's genuine. Amen. And when she said this, then he answered her directly. When you're genuine, he's genuine. Very interesting. And he answered and said, it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Little dogs. He was talking about that Jewish Gentile thing. He called her a little dog. She didn't get offended. What does she say? Yes, Lord. He said, you're a little dog. Yes, Lord. Wow. Yes, Lord. For even the little dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Lord, you're not on the table right here. If you came only for the Jews, that's over there. But you're like a crumb of the bread that fell off the table over here. So I'm the little dog eating the crumbs. So he called her a little dog. She called him a crumb. That wasn't from the Lord speaking. That was her speaking. Yes, Lord, even the little dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And this becomes one of the revelations concerning Jesus. He's the crumbs under the table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, oh, woman, great is your faith. And then her daughter got healed. Now, saints, my point in presenting this is, why is this story, after that part on eating, defiling your heart, this shows us the only way to get your heart cleansed is to eat.
Amen.
And if because of the spiritual death, because of your condition, right now, all you can handle is a crumb, that's okay. That's where he is.
Amen.
And that's what he is to you. He doesn't expect much. He just expects you to be genuine. Lord, this is where I am. Even to say, Lord, I come to you full of death, but I come to you. Lord, here I am. Lord, restore my joy. You can say, Lord, restore my joy. Restore my joy. Be my joy. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. And that's eating a crumb. That's eating the crumbs. So saints, maybe that's enough for now. I come back, I just repeat, my burden is our eating.
Amen.
How has our eating been? In daily life, with our coworkers, with our neighbors, with our relatives and people around us. We need to be careful of what we take in because it affects our inner being. And the soul could encase our spirit. So you're trying to eat spiritually, but there's no effectiveness because the soul is full of death and constituted. So let's take care of our eating. And the final point is the only way to be cleansed inwardly is to eat the Lord as the crumbs. And for that, we need the genuine contact with the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. How about we have a few prayers then? This session will go to 10:45. We still have a couple of minutes for maybe three or four can share a little something. Amen. Let's have a few prayers. A few prayers. Amen.